That the
Gosh, I love that sound bed. It is 4:40 just gone, which means it is time for That's the Spirit here on 95BFM Drive with Caitlin today, covering for Matthew Crawley. And on the line, the incredible Peter Lynham. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Caitlin.
How are you? That is so, so good. Now, what have you got in store for us on That's the Spirit today?
I wanted to explore the religion of Democrats.
Ooh.
Because I'm just so intrigued, having watched the Democratic National Congress and choosing Kamala Harris, to think, you know, religion is playing a big part with the Republicans. Is it playing a part with the Democrats?
Oh, that's a good one. I've also been seeing quite a lot of, this is showing my age, Peter, but I've been seeing a lot of that on TikTok, a lot of Kamala Harris content. So hit me with it. I'm so excited.
Yes. So this is an interesting story because, I mean, there are lots of intriguing elements to it. But the part that interested me is the Democrats are not nearly so easily religiously identified these days. Once upon a time, you could be fairly confident that most Catholics would have been Democrat. You could have been fairly confident that the Democrats were, well, because they drew on the poorer range of the population. So they would tend to be working-class Methodists and Baptists and the like. This is not like this anymore, of course. And yet, religion is still playing a role in this election. Have you heard all the discussion about what religion Kamala Harris actually is?
I haven't, but I assume you're going to tell me.
This is so fascinating. Kamala Harris has a Hindu mother and converted, or I don't know whether she converted, but she became involved with a Baptist church in her teenage years.
Right.
And she also has, well, it's a polyglot background of various elements of religion, and she can quite cheerfully blend the religions of Catholicism, of Hinduism, and of the Baptists all into that kind of unique blend, which is so characteristic of one aspect of America.
Yeah, it's wild how, because do you think, like, in comparison then, I assume you're going to tell me anyway, but what's, obviously, Kamala's got her competitor. Do we know what Trump's sort of side of that is?
Well, Trump is difficult to categorize in certain respects.
You're right.
But he is playing up to the kind of Pentecostal end of the evangelical Baptist spectrum.
Ooh.
In the USA.
Right.
And so he did describe himself at one stage as a Presbyterian, and he was even been seen holding a Bible, albeit it was upside down. So religion is not a strong feature of Trump's practical life, but it's a great part of his attempt to woo voters. And so he is very strongly claiming the endorsement of God. Yeah. And it's quite interesting listening to the people who do endorse him, because they know perfectly well that he's a reprobate, as they would say. You know, he's godless and manipulative and doing all sorts of dodgy stuff with prostitutes. But they've drawn this image of him as being the Cyrus of America, and I'll have to explain the Cyrus of America.
Yes, please.
Yes. So in a strange part of the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, there's this fascinating description that Cyrus of Persia, of the great Persian Empire that had just destroyed and knocked out of action the Babylonians, had been appointed by God to rescue Israel and bring it out of its captivity in Babylonia and take it back to Israel. And so here's the godless man who is fulfilling the purposes of God. And so that's how they are envisaging that Trump is called to play this critical role in American society, to return it to truth and fidelity and religiosity. So that's Trump. Hardly religious, but playing religion is part of his strategy, if strategy is quite the right word, how to describe how he's behaving in politics. Kamala Harris does have a strategy, but you've got to remember that the Democrats have put themselves very, very strongly on the side of making sure that the right to abortion remains on the statute books mm-hmm. of the states. And that, you know, was recently effectively overturned when the Supreme Court backed away from the Roe versus Wade judgment of the 1970s, yes. which effectively made abortion any woman's right. So the Democrats, and Biden has been strident about this, that you know you must protect that right, and Kamala Harris no less an advocate for that. The tricky thing is that Biden, as the Catholic in the White House, this was a very difficult position, and various Catholic bishops urged that he should be excommunicated and announced that he would be refused communion if he turned up at their cathedral. I don't suppose that Kamala Harris is going to turn up at any Catholic cathedral trying to take communion. It would be refused to her on the grounds of not being, well, of being whatever she is. So that doesn't quite work. But you see, here's the interesting thing. America, even being non-religious, is so religious in America. So the Democrat Congress, they begin with prayers at every meeting of the great Chicago event, including Hindu prayers and various other things like this to invoke the support of all the different strands of religion that are now such a big part of the USA. And throughout the event, there were numerous speakers who cite biblical verses and make a great appeal to what you might call the justice tradition of Christianity and Judaism. And they've got the Jewish vote they've got to think about too, because Jews have historically voted Democrat. Jews, especially in New York, and that's been very important in the New York state. But, of course, at the moment, with the Arab-Israeli war going on with Gaza, there's been a huge demand that Democrats would come out and do what Biden has refused to do and stop backing Israel. And they say, you've got to back the Gazans. And there's big, big pressure at Chicago of largely Muslim Americans pleading that something would be done about this. But plenty of other, you know, people who were seeking some greater kind of justice in the situation. And but Kamala, it appears, says she is going to, U.S. remains unwavering in its loyalty to Israel. So she wants to keep the Jewish vote.
Yes. Well, I find it quite intriguing watching all of that and seeing the protests. And I think it's a really important thing, I think, will be for her to see, to pretty much come out and say free Palestine. I think it's going to be very, very important to win over some extra voters. It might lose her some, but I think it'll be better off in the end,
in the long term, sure, it would be better, you might say, for the peace of the world to get her elected. I'm afraid she is going to make a ruthless choice that, after all, where are the Gazans going to go? They're not going to vote for Trump. Because if ever there was a loyalist for Israel, it was Trump and his evangelical cronies.
Gosh, America, isn't it just so delightful, Peter? What a treat.
Endlessly fascinating and endlessly annoying.
Yeah. Hey, before we end off, Peter, I have a quick question for you.
Yes.
Who do you think, in a very short, simple way, who do you think is going to take it out? Do you think Trump or do you think Kamala?
I am sure that Kamala's going to get it. Yes. I am confident of this.
Damn. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking through that with us, Peter. It is an absolute treat to have you on every single time, and can't wait to hear what you've got for us next week.
Excellent. See you.
Easy. Bye, Peter.